I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the recession's racial divide. We'll talk about why African Americans have been particularly hard hit by the recession and our fears that minorities will disproportionately benefit from regulatory and health care reforms, slowing the momentum for change. One essayist thinks so. We'll talk about it in just a few minutes. But first, the financial meltdown 1 year later. It was a year ago that investment bank Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy, sending shockwaves through Wall Street and the country. To mark the occasion, President Barack Obama went to Wall Street and sternly warned financial and public officials of the need to change the way they do business. We want to ask, what's the state of the industry now? What reforms would prevent another meltdown? And are the president's proposals the right ones for right now? Here to talk about this is our regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy, Alvin Hall. He's with us from New York. And David Ferreira is a vice president of the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. He joins us on the phone from his organization's conference in Colorado. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alvin, let's first start with a clip from yesterday's speech. Here it is.
The old ways that led to this crisis cannot stand. And to the extent that some have so readily returned to them, underscores the need for change and change now. History cannot be allowed to repeat itself.
Alvin, what old ways is he talking about?
The old ways was the high level of risk-taking that had come about on Wall Street. Firms were not only creating products that involved a high degree of leverage, putting down the smallest amount of money in order to invest in those products, but they were then selling those products on to other people and not explaining the amount of risk involved very clearly. Those ways clearly had to stop because that's what ultimately brought down Lehman Brothers.
People would argue that, well, risk and profit are related.
They are closely related. However, there were some rule changes starting in 2000 and in 2005 that allowed firms to lower the amount of capital they had on hand relative to the level of risk they were taking. It was this lowered amount of capital requirement that led to the meltdown of Lehman Brothers. They really weren't sitting on enough cash to protect themselves if things went bad.
And the president's argument is that that can't be allowed to continue. Why?
Because if that continues and there's another financial crisis, he believes, and I think everyone in the administration believes, that there will be a much more severe meltdown. Many years ago, there was long-term capital, and long-term capital almost brought the economy to its knees. A year ago, we had Lehman Brothers, and then they're looking and saying, well, maybe the time lapse between another financial crisis isn't getting longer, but getting shorter.
Even despite this rather stern warning, the president did strike a hopeful note. Let's play another clip and hear what he had to say.
The work of recovery continues. And though I will never be satisfied while people are out of work and our financial system is weakened, we can be confident that the storms of the past 2 years are beginning to break.
David, are you confident that the storms of the past 2 years are beginning to break? And why is the president?
Well, in a very macro sense, from the 30,000-foot level, yes, the storms are starting to break. We're starting to see most of the indexes for the economy essentially starting to stabilize, a very much different situation from we were at the beginning of 2009 when the president inherited a very shaky financial situation that required him to make a lot of financial investments to stabilize the economy. But in the overall scheme of things, we also do find that consumers are still finding themselves without a lot of asset-backed lending. Small businesses are still having problems finding loans. And some of the programs have been more successful than others. Well, some of the small business lending programs may have not been as effective as the administration had tried. So clearly, it's a mixed result bag.
If you could just tell me a little bit more about that, the credit issues that you've talked to us about that small and medium-sized businesses have been experiencing. Are those going on? Is there still a credit crunch for the people who belong to your organization?
Indeed. It's not just the people that belong to our organization, but essentially very much what is the small business owner. A lot of the administration's efforts were geared towards re-incentivizing small business lending. And what we know is that the world isn't perfect and not everybody has a 750 credit score. And especially small and first-time entrepreneurs definitely don't always fall into those categories. And often enough, they self-finance. a lot of minority entrepreneurs that establish a first-time business or expand on their business, in many cases use their personal wealth and their personal assets. For instance, taking out home equity loans, and that was a very sound financial decision to make at that time. But obviously, it's not necessarily the case now, and you have folks with lower values on their homes and more debt on top of that.
I wanted to spend the next couple of minutes, the time we have left, talking about what the president is proposing. A core proposal is this new Consumer Financial Protection Agency to protect consumers, to ensure that consumers get information that's clear and concise, and to prevent, as he put it, the worst kinds of abuses. Alvin, I wanted to ask, what's your take on this?
Well, when I was listening to the commentary, I thought about all of the statements that were made when they were creating the SEC back in 1934. These were very similar comments. People are skeptical of the new agency. They think, why are we adding this level of bureaucracy? What is it going to do? I personally think it's a good idea. I think that firms, especially financial institutions, need to have some pressure on them to make their statements clear, to make loans understandable to the general public, so that when people buy something, they'll know exactly what they're buying. However, I am skeptical that financial institutions will actually do it. Several years ago, the government passed an idea that would help people understand their 401k plans. And so all of these companies that offered them were supposed to provide training and classes for people so they could better manage their 401k plans. It never really got off the ground. Why? Because the companies really thought, well, we'll do as little as we can. And that's what I fear will happen with this bill.
Well, part of the president's argument is that as the companies now are shopping for the regulator who's going to give them the answer that they want, and this would foreclose that ability to do that. So, David, in a couple minutes we have left, what's your take on this proposal?
Well, one of the things that we're going to be addressing at our annual convention this week is this very same issue, which is the economic recovery and the financial services regulatory reform that may be required. When it comes to the consumer protection regulator, we know that the abuses of the past hurt a lot of minority communities, including many small businesses. And generally speaking, though, the idea of a financial services consumer protection regulator is a good idea, because a lot of the financial regulators, all the separate ones, had a consumer protection division that was essentially in the basement right next to the steam pipes and didn't necessarily operate very effectively. So raising the level of the consumer protection is a very great idea. We just have to be very careful at how we implement it.
And finally, I wanted to ask each of you, the president closed on this note as well. It seems hard to talk about the nation's overall financial health without talking about the deficit. And so I wanted to ask each of you whether you have confidence that the administration's efforts to address the deficit are adequate. And David, I'll start with you.
Well, one thing the president said yesterday, which was that we go back to pay as you go, is a very important thing. That's essentially requires that Congress is pay for every single thing in new spending that they put in through either a tax increase or more often a cut in spending somewhere else. And another item is that we also know that the president and the Department of Treasury yesterday just released their next phase of government financial stabilization document, which is essentially how to exit from a lot of these programs that were established to stabilize the economy and how we starting to wind down from that spending, in many cases recapture a lot of that spending.
Alvin?
I think the government is learning as it goes, and I think it will be able to control the deficit reasonably. I don't think they know exactly what they're going to do, but it's really a learn-as-you-go plan. But my experience in working on Wall Street for all these years is that often when people say they're going to do something, the reality hits them and they have to alter the plan. I think the government needs to remain flexible and stop making statements that are so absolutist, like we're going to be able to control the deficit, because something will come out in the financial markets which will need more money.
All right. That was Alvin Hall and David Ferreira. Alvin is Tell Me More's regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy, and he joined us from NPR's New York Bureau. David Ferreira is vice president of the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. He joined us on the phone from his organization's conference in Colorado. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.